is from the book of Joshua, chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. Rahab and the spies. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. "Go look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab: "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in the fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts sank and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below."
Thank you very much, Sarah, for reading what is an amazing part of this story in the book of Joshua. And we're in a series at the moment, week two of our series called Faith, A New Way. And we're looking at faith through the eyes of this Joshua story, which is full of amazing events, as we'll find out as we go further on in this story. Here's the children of Israel being led out of captivity. Moses is dead. Joshua has just taken over. And facing them is an opportunity to get into the promised land. And last week we looked at how Joshua had new courage to take up the challenge of this next stage of this particular journey. Courage, of course, grows when we find ourselves in situations that demand courage. That's the best training ground for anything that we have. If you want patience, then the best place to be in is a place where patience is needed. And so it was the same for Joshua. He wanted courage, and he was in a place where he needed to find that courage. You may have faced many challenging decisions this week. You may have had family issues to deal with. You may have had relationship issues to deal with. You might have had job decisions to make, and all of them demand courage to grab hold of the opportunities before you and to decide whether you're going to take them and go forward or whether you're going to shirk back from them. Well, Joshua took up this challenge when he was confronted with the opportunity that God had presented for him. And as we move out of lockdown, I think we are in a place where we need to find new courage. New courage to take up the possibilities for what God is placing before us. For all of us, in any of our situations, when we're faced with those new things that are coming. But what are those possibilities? What are the things that God is beginning to show us that will become possible in the new normal, I guess that we can call it? And what sort of faith do you need to grab hold of those possibilities that God may be setting up for us? Well, it seems to me that Joshua is ready for what God wants to do next in his life. He's courageous, he's bold, and the people have responded. In chapter 1, verse 16, we read the people responding to Joshua saying, "Whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go." There's a people who are ready for new possibilities. Whatever you command us, we're going to go do. Wherever you're going to send us, we're going to go. And as the church, as people coming out of lockdown, I think we have a challenge to face. Are we going to do what God is calling us to do? Those new things, those new possibilities that perhaps we'd never thought of a year ago, but now suddenly become in our focus. Because Jesus said in Matthew 19:26, he said this, "With God, all things are possible." In Mark chapter 9:23, he said, everything is possible for the one who believes. You know, God is dealing with impossible situations. He makes the impossible possible. And I want us to think about that in the light of this Joshua chapter 2 story that Sarah read to us a little bit earlier. You know, maybe you're feeling doubtful. Maybe you sat there this morning at home or in the room and thinking, do you know what is God going to make possible? I don't know whether anything new can come out of this place. But please, don't believe what you feel. Feel what you believe. If you believe that God can do the impossible, then we need to feel that. We need to know that. We need to experience that and say, God, whatever you say, we'll do. Wherever you lead us, we will go, because we believe that you're the God of the impossible. So what can God make possible? Well, the first thing Joshua did was to send out two spies. If he was going to see what God wanted to do next, he was going to go and spy out the land. You might remember that 40 years earlier, Joshua had been one of the 12 spies that Moses had sent out to spy out the promised land. 12 sounded a lot, and actually it backfired for Moses that time, because when the 12 came back, 10 of them said, we can't take that land, whereas two of them, Joshua and Caleb, they believed that they could take the land. But when it's 10 against 2, the Bible tells us the people melted. They refused to go in, and so the people of Israel wandered around for 40 years while that generation died out, or most of them did, because Joshua survived, of course, in that. Joshua comes back. It's possible. We can do it. And still 40 years later, he's still believing that it's possible, because he's trusting God. Your age doesn't have any say in what we believe is possible. Whether you're a 20-year-old or whether you're a 60-year-old, you know, things are still possible where God is concerned. And I have to tell you, I've met many 80-year-olds who still believe God can do impossible things. There's no age difference in all of that. But two went out and two came back. And both of them who came back, if you read in Joshua chapter 2, verse 24, at the end of this chapter, they said to Joshua and the people, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. Now, it wasn't the people of Israel who were melting in fear. Now, it was the opposition who were melting in fear. And so, emboldened by those two spies' report at the end of chapter 2, there was a massive turnaround, because the people now believed that they could go in and take the promised land. And we'll find out a bit about that, more about that as we go through this series together. But how did it become possible? How did this turnaround happen? How could what they felt couldn't happen, now they believed it could happen? And how does God act when we're faced with the impossible challenges in our lives as well? The very real day-to-day things that we just don't know how we're going to move through them. Well, I want to say firstly this morning that God uses unlikely people to make possible the impossible. God uses unlikely people to make possible the impossible. Now, I've met some very unlikely people in my time. I'm sure you have as well. You might be sat next to somebody who you thought was unlikely. But, you know, they've proved themselves to be likely, if not unlikely. But I've met some unlikely people, and I've seen God transform their lives. People I've labeled as perhaps on the edge. People who I've decided God couldn't change their lives. It was impossible for their lives to be changed. And yet, of course, God had other plans other than my own judgments. I've been wrong many times when it comes to unlikely people. A tattooed bodybuilder, a drug addict, a transvestite, a refugee, an alcoholic, a young person, an older person, a prisoner. I've seen God transform the impossible people and use them powerfully to bring transformation to other people's lives as well. And if we continue to decide who's in and who's out, then we're in danger of limiting the possibilities of what God can do through unlikely people. As the two spies arrive in Jericho on that particular day, they went and entered the house of a welcoming prostitute named Rahab. It was a good choice, wasn't it? A house that would welcome anybody to go in on that particular day. But of course, as the story unfolds, we begin to see that she becomes the person who enables them to hide and escape from being found and arrested as well. Never close out unlikely people, because God might just want to use them to enable something to happen in your life, in my life, because he has a great track record of using unlikely people. This last 12 months, we've witnessed some incredible things happening around our world, haven't we? We've witnessed the racial injustice issues that have been happening all around the world. And just this week, the trial and the conviction of the policeman who murdered George Floyd in the US. We've seen protests in the UK in connection with the brutal murder of Sarah Everard and the debate about how women should be treated in our society as well. And we can't stand by and just watch all this happen. We have to reflect on our own attitudes towards people who we maybe have in the past maybe pushed out or not welcomed in any way, whether people with different attitudes to us or whether people of different race or gender or ethnicity or faith, and we haven't had the door wide enough to welcome them in, to reflect God's heart towards all people. And how sad and shocking it would be if we missed God making something possible in our lives if we exclude someone who God wants to use to bring about the possible. I wonder if we could widen the door of invitation and welcome and partnership, just as we heard in that story of Rahab, an unlikely person who God chose to use to make the possible happen. Unlikely people have unheard stories. If we push people away, we fail to hear their story. And if we're prepared to listen, I'm sure that it would bring transformation in our lives as well. He uses the powerless. He uses the marginalized. He used Rahab. And you'll find Rahab's name in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. You'll find Rahab's name listed in the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, 31. God uses unlikely people to make possible the impossible. And you know what? He may even use you if you think you're an unlikely person. Secondly, God has unlimited power to make possible the impossible. Rahab and the whole of Jericho were really well informed about what had been happening away from their city. It's amazing to think, even without the internet, that the news traveled even to them in Jericho. But people had heard the news. People had heard the news about this, the people of Israel, and this God that they were following. And she was in tune with who God was and the power that he had. An unlikely person knows about the unlimited power of God. In Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, that Sarah read to us earlier, she says, I know that the Lord, and she used his name Yahweh, the very holy name that the people of Israel were using, I know that the Lord has given this land to you. I mean, there's a prophetic insight from somebody unlikely. I know that he's given this land to you. She knew about God. She knew about his power. And everyone, she said, is melting in fear because of you. And then there's this bold witness in chapter 2, verse 11. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. What an amazing statement of faith in the possibilities of who God is. That God has unlimited power to make possible the impossible. I mean, this kind of knowledge and faith may put some of us to shame this morning. Maybe we've failed to declare the truth of who God is with that sort of confidence. Maybe we're struggling to even believe that God has unlimited power. Yet Rahab believes it. She declares it. She's confident in it. She's certain about it, that God has unlimited power to make possible the impossible. And as we read in the rest of the story in chapter 2, we see that Rahab's faith saved her and her family. She understood the power of God and was prepared to commit herself to his cause without wavering. So I wonder, where do you need to see God at work? Where do you long to see God do something impossible? Would you believe that he has power to do that? Unlimited power. And what one thing could you start praying for today? What one person could you start praying for so that the impossible becomes possible? Because without God's power, nothing is going to change. And finally, from this story this morning, I want to say that God uses unwanted pain to make possible the impossible. God uses unwanted pain to make possible the impossible. As the two spies are escaping, and you can read the rest of the story in Joshua chapter 2, as they're escaping, Rahab lets them down by a rope because her house is on the wall of the city. So she's got an outside window, and so she lets them down on a rope through the window down outside the walls of the city. Chapter 2, verse 15. And as the men are hanging there on the end of the rope, they change the arrangement that they've made with her, but they don't change the agreement to save her and her family. Now, a rope is a very powerful symbol in Hebrew culture. It's a reminder of captivity and slavery. In fact, the Hebrew word for rope, shebal, also means pain and destruction. It's a simile for the distress of the exiles. Whenever they see a rope, they're reminded of their exile. They're reminded of the pain and destruction of it. And yet, the pain of the past was about to be redeemed for the future. In Joshua chapter 2 and verse 18, the men say to Rahab as they're hanging on the end of this rope. It's quite a comedic little image, isn't it? They're hanging on the end of the rope just about to escape. And they say to Rahab at the window, unless you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you have let us down, the impossible won't become possible. Unless you've done this one thing, then the impossible won't become possible. Now, the Hebrew word for cord is tikvah, and that word has the same root as the word for hope, things hoped for, things longed for, expectation of things possible. So here they are hanging on their rope, pain and destruction, and they're saying to Rahab, put a scarlet cord on your window, and there is hope for you and your family for the future. What you thought was impossible is going to be made possible again. And even through the pain that you've suffered all these years, through the past that you've had, do you know what? God is going to bring about something new out of your despair. And 3 days after being let down on the rope, 3 days after being reminded of the pain of the past of the children of Israel, their 400 years in slavery, their 40 years of wandering around the wilderness, the two spies report back to Joshua, and this is what they say: the Lord is going to make the impossible possible. The Lord is going to make this happen. The scarlet cord is going to be tied to the window. Hope is just around the corner. For Rahab, her past pain is just about to be redeemed. Her and her family are just about to have a new beginning. All that pain of their story is just about to be replaced by hope. And for the children of Israel, the 440 years of pain, of hurt, they're just about to have a future. Yeah, many of us are carrying pain from our past experiences that we've been through, and we'd rather not have been through them. Some of us are carrying pain today, and we'd rather not have it. But God has new possibilities to come out of that pain, because He is the bringer of hope. He is the starter of new beginnings. Perhaps this morning you feel at the end of your rope. Maybe the pain and the frustration and the anxiety and the worries and the uncertainty, or you feel trapped and captive or wandering around in the wilderness, and maybe it's been 40 years in the wilderness. Yet even at the end of the rope, you can find hope because of the God who makes possible the impossible. We may have given up hope of a future, but God says there is one for you. He is the bringer of hope, the starter of new beginnings. I mean, during this pandemic, many amazing acts of the possible have happened, haven't they? Neighbor to neighbor, the medical profession who have brought hope to us, vaccines which are bringing hope all around the world. In Bogota, in Colombia, there was a community worker who started organizing food distribution for the poorest in that particularly devastated city. And he asked those who needed help, he said to them, "This is what I want you to do. If you need help, this is what I want you to do. I want you to tie something red outside your door or your window, and I'll know that you're in need of some help." And that's what he did to countless hundreds and thousands of families who were in total despair during this time. And when he saw the red flag outside the window, he knew that that was a place that needed to be moved from pain to hope, from the end of the rope to freedom and salvation. 3 days after hanging on the end of the rope, they conveyed hope back to the camp. The scarlet cord is in the window. Salvation, freedom, healing, forgiveness. A new beginning for those who have gathered in that room. Your past story, the present circumstances you're in. There is hope. The impossible can be turned around. New possibilities today. How? Well, because God is the God of the possible. With God, all things are possible. Why? Well, because of Jesus and the cross, the ultimate third day event. When all seemed lost, Jesus took our pain, he took our past, he took our failure, and he gave us hope. And if we'll allow the cross to speak to us today, you'll find that it's the answer to the impossible in your life. Unwanted pain, uncertain faith. Well, God can turn that around. Let him make possible what you think is impossible. Because he's done it before, and he'll definitely do it again. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for the unlikely people that you've put in our path during our lives. And I pray that you'll continue to help us to have your eyes open to all that you put in our lives, the people who you put along our way. May we have a wide open door of welcome and invitation. To listen to those unheard stories, to allow you to speak through them. Father, today we're going to trust in your unlimited power. We want to ask you to come into those places where we need your power today. We just ask you, come. And we're going to watch to see what you do as we make space for you to do what you do best, to bring transformation, to bring light in the darkness, hope instead of despair. And today we want to hand over any unwanted pain to you today. Pain of the past that is still hanging around us, pain now that we're feeling. And I pray, God, that you will begin to heal that pain as we begin to hand it over to you and allow you to come as healer today. Thank you that you can redeem the past, that you can change our stories, the stories of hope and a future. And I pray that through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, that you will do that work in each of us today. We're waiting here for you, Lord Jesus. We're waiting here with our hands open to receive what you long to give us, to bring the possible out of the impossible. We make these prayers and these requests in your name, Jesus. in praise and expectation. We hand over what looks impossible to you, and we let you in. We give you our lives again today because you gave your life for us. You took the pain and the loss and the frustration, and you turned the impossible right around. May the cross be the sign of hope for all of us today as we seek your forgiveness and we experience that freedom that comes from you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.